Hare Krishna. I've been asked to speak this morning on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 2, texts 80 and 81. So I don't recall the last time I gave a class on Chaitanya Charitamrita. I can't actually recall ever giving class on Chaitanya Charitamrita, so please forgive me if it's a bit rusty. It's a level way beyond my realizations. But by Prabhupada's guidance and his purports, maybe we'll have a few insights and share a little of this very deep pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, text 80, we don't have written down. So I'll just go through that, chant it, and then we'll come to text 81. So I'm going to read the previous translation, then follow it with this translation. So this is the translation to text number 80. During his previous pastimes in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna desired to enjoy the three different types of ecstasy. But despite great endeavor, he could not taste them. Such ecstasies are the monopoly of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in order to taste them, Sri Krishna accepted the position of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In today's translation, by personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent incarnation of the touchstone of love of God. He does not consider whether one is proper or improper recipient. He does not consider whether one is a proper or improper recipient, but gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. Thus, he is the most munificent. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's capital is the touchstone of love of Godhead, and consequently, he is a great owner of that transcendental treasure. After making unlimited amounts of gold, the touchstone remains the same. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although distributing love of Godhead unlimitedly, still remained the supreme owner of this transcendental opulence. His devotees who learned it from him also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. The Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of Godhead all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna, 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 Vishnu Padaya Krishna. So I'll just read the two verses again. During his previous pastimes in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna desired to enjoy the three different types of ecstasy. But despite great endeavor, he could not taste them. Such ecstasies are the monopoly of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in order to taste them, Sri Krishna accepted the position of Srimati Radharani in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By personally tasting the mellows of love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his direct disciples the process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most munificent incarnation of the touchstone of love of God. He does not consider whether one is proper or improper recipient, but gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. Thus, he is the most munificent. Hare Krishna. So this is a continuation of the descriptions, in brief, of Lord Chaitanya's ecstasies. In the previous verses, we've heard some of the symptoms Lord Chaitanya displayed. And to someone who's in the mundane sphere, or even someone who's, as far as Brahman realized, they're inconceivable. We can't grasp them. We have names for these different levels of ecstasy. We have, Prabhupada explains in great detail. Although it's interesting, in these two verses, the purport is only to the second part. Prabhupada is leaving his deeper explanations to later on in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in some ways, these things are inaccessible to us. And we shouldn't pretend that they are, if they're not. Of course, maybe there are some exalted souls here tasting this level of realization. But in the case of Lord Chaitanya, no one exhibited the symptoms of ecstasy that he did. They can't be imitated. There's descriptions how he was in such ecstasy, the limbs in his body just disappeared into his body. Imagine going to Lord Chaitanya's room and seeing him, no arms and legs. It would be very disturbing to someone who didn't understand what was going on. So only his most intimate associates were witness to these very confidential pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes everything, all his limbs were withdrawn into his body. And don't ask me what that looks like. And other times his limbs were extended. It says that all the joints in his limbs and all the joints of his, his hands and his limbs were, sometimes the joints were 8 inches between the joints. Imagine that. Just skin was holding together the joints of his elbows and knees and joints of his hands. It's very disturbing. You try and visualize that. Do you really want to go there? These are the symptoms that Lord Chaitanya is displaying in his ecstatic mood, in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So this is the internal reason why Lord Chaitanya appears in the Kali Yuga, of all places. In the Kali Yuga, the Lord appears to... because he wants to know what is it that is so attractive about him that attracts Srimati Radharani. So he can't retain his integrity as Krishna and experience what it's like to feel separation from himself. How is that possible? No. He has to... he takes on the mood of Radharani. And when he's in the mood of Radharani... Although he's Krishna, at the same time he's not Krishna. He's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these verses are giving some little summary of the reason why the Lord's appearing. And previous verses over the past weeks, we've been reading some of these symptoms. So I'm not at all qualified to speak about these such things. In the first verse we've read this morning, during the Srila Prabhupada translates, during the previous pastimes in Vrindavan, Lord Krishna desired to enjoy the three different types of ecstasy. Now he's the Lord himself, but despite great endeavor, he could not taste them. This seems to be a contradiction. How is it that something is beyond the purview of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because everything's there in the Supreme Lord. How is that possible? Prabhupada explains the next verse, the next line. He says, such ecstasies are the monopoly of Srimati Radharani. That's her jurisdiction. So Krishna takes the mood of Radharani and comes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada doesn't give any purport to that verse. It left me wondering, what are the three ecstasies that Krishna desired to taste? Any reflections on that? What are the three ecstasies that Lord Krishna desired to taste that were the jurisdiction of Srimati Radharani? I don't know. Personally, I don't know. Any ideas?
The greatness of Radharani as well.
The greatness of Radharani's love. The sweetness that Srimati Radharani can taste of Krishna. And the joy that she gets from realizing and experiencing that. I had a feeling when I was reading it, I thought Govinda will know this. Thank you very much. So those are the overall category, those are the overall three reasons, but within that there are so many different subdivisions. We won't get into that, but there's a few hints of it in previous verses. This lamentation and madness, and it's all symptoms of pure love. Whereas in the material world, lamentation degrades the mode of ignorance. And madness, that's, we've just lost touch with reality. So how is it that these qualities in the material world are being spoken of in transcendence? Because they're not material. The whole basis, the foundation of everything in transcendence, in the realm of Vaikuntha, or to speak of Goloka, is pure love of Godhead. So, Lord Chaitanya wants to taste this pure love himself, and in the process, he also wants to distribute this pure love to the whole universe. It isn't enough to experience it. Sometimes you experience, I cook at home, and make a nice preparation. It's tasty, but the taste is increased when you share it with someone. You share a meal with someone. Sharing increases the enjoyment. Always. It increases. For a husband and wife, their enjoyment is increased when they have children. We are social animals, even in the conditioned state. So the Lord, he wants to share this love of Godhead. And because he's in such ecstasy, in this mood, because of his ecstasy, he doesn't see offenses. He's not judging anyone or anything. He wants to share his ecstasy. So even those who aren't fit recipients, here's a good example, still, the opportunity is there. He does not consider whether one is proper or improper recipient, but gives his treasure to anyone and everyone. So the treasure is being offered, but we have to accept it. And that's the secret. That's the trick. It's not a trick, it's just common sense. If someone offers you something very nice, whatever you consider very nice, it might be Prabhupada would say a rasgulla. Rasgullas are very nice. Or someone offers you an envelope with £1,000 in it. Or someone offers you a touchstone. Or someone offers you anything, a set of Bhagavatams, whatever it happens to be. The offer is there, but I have to accept it. So Lord Chaitanya is offering. Srila Prabhupada is offering. The offering's there, but will I take? Will I? That's down to me. It's my responsibility to actually accept this great gift. But the secret is to serve those who are serving those who serve those who've accepted it. Even if we're reluctant to accept it ourselves, but we know I should accept this, let me serve those who have accepted it. And then at some point, I will accept it. So the Krishna consciousness movement, as Prabhupada says in the last of his purport, Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya's devotees who learned this process from him also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. Prabhupada said, had to. They had to distribute it munificently all over the world. Why did they have to? Any ideas? Why did they have to? Was someone telling them, you've got to do this now? Why? They had to distribute this. Any insights into that? Only one with a hand up is this young lady who's just playing her up. No? Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead. Yeah. Because of their compassion, they see other people suffering, and out of their compassion, they feel impelled. I'm repeating it because for our guests online here, yeah. We don't have a microphone, do we? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Okay. Do you want to repeat what you said? Repeat what you said.
Due to compassion, they suffer when they see other people suffering, therefore they desire to help other people.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar, but compassion, but also awareness of what they're actually giving. And that's combined with compassion. Imagine if you're walking through a very poor area and you've got a bag full of diamonds. You know, you'd be pretty a bit of a miser not to give them out. So you'll culturally, as a human being, you would want to share something that is unlimited and very, very valuable. And I think they knew its value and they knew the mission. And therefore, they're impelled to distribute it.
Yeah, good point. Yes, impelled. Yeah. Microphone.
The more they give, the more they kind of get, the more they taste.
Ah. Good one. Ever increasing. Do you want to pass over to that side? Yeah, that was your point. Go on, do you want to add to it a little bit? Microphone, please.
I was just going to say, the more you have, you know, then you are full, so you want to share, and when you are sharing, you receive again, you know, so like that.
Yeah.
So
the more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reciprocation. Yes. The Lord reciprocates.
The nature of the soul is to give. The nature of the mind is to take. When you give, you are happy. When you take, you are miserable.
You say, when we give, we're happy. When we take, we're miserable. But what if we take that which is offered? Are we miserable?
Unless we take a prasad.
Okay.
I mean, mercy. When I mean take, you know, atyahara, the mind that takes atyahara, you know, material things, that's when we become dusparin nalinacha, never satisfied.
Yeah, never satisfied. Sisi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sita Ramakshmi Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Goni Tai ki jai. Yes. So they had to distribute that. Not that anyone's telling them, but the great devotees feel impelled. It's the very nature of the pure soul to want to give the highest. So Prabhupada, the next sentence, Prabhupada says, this Krishna consciousness movement, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of Godhead all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So as we said before, even if we don't have love of Godhead, if we serve those who are serving those who serve those who have love of Godhead, it will ultimately awaken in our heart. Because we're part of that process of spreading the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We might feel ourselves very fallen, very incapable. But when we link up with that process of giving this opportunity to others, we become part of that process. I read a very nice little piece the other day, last week. I just happened across it. There were some stonemasons. A stonemason is someone who cuts stone. It wasn't the Freemasons, they were stonemasons. And there were someone asked them, said, well, what are you doing? And this mason, he said, I'm cutting blocks of stone. Okay. And he asked the next person, he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm part of a project to build a cathedral. Look at the difference. They're both of them cutting blocks of stone. Yeah. But the mentality is totally different. They're both focused on cutting blocks of stone. But one of them feels, I'm part of a project to build a cathedral. So in the same way, every little service in the Lord Chaitanya's Krishna Consciousness Movement, especially under the direction of the pure devotees, the great acharyas, we feel that connection when we see the bigger picture. But if we're, say, sweeping the floor or cleaning the brass or even going out in book distribution, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Why am I doing this? We've got to feel, you've got to understand the connection. And then it's enlivening because you're plugging into the bigger picture. Remember many, many years ago when I was in France, I was in the Paris temple. And that was the year that the new Mayapur was purchased. Nouvelle Mayapur was purchased that year. And Srila Prabhupada came. Wonderful to see Prabhupada, well, whenever or wherever he was. How many of you have been to New Mayapur? Yeah, quite a few of you. It's a big property. Big property. And at the time, it was totally new. The devotees just moved in there. And there was, I can't remember his name. See his face, clear as a bell. He was asked to knock these posts in, the posts for fencing to go between the an area near the temple at the side down towards where all the houses were and what would be the goshala, what would be the stables, putting those posts in for fencing. And he came to me one day. It was, of course, France gets quite hot in the summer, and he came to me. He said, why am I doing this? What's the heck? What's this got to do with spiritual life, banging in fence posts? Huh? He was a bit, well, whatever. I don't know. So I thought for a minute, well, actually, the fence posts are to hold up the wires to make a fence. And the fences are to stop the cows from wandering off and eating the cabbages. And at the same time, the fences are there to keep the cows and... they go to the milking parlor, and then we milk the cows, and we offer the milk to Krishna, and then devotees take the milk. It's all connected up. And he said, oh, yeah, okay. So at least he felt satisfied that there was some significance in knocking in fence posts. Because sometimes we're asked to do something, unless we can understand what we're doing, it might seem a little mundane or tedious. Sometimes, yeah, it does. Doing austerities on the street all day, collecting funds perhaps, or whatever it happens to be. So we need to see that connection. And then we become enlivened. And serving the devotees, that's very enlivening. The human beings are social. We are social creatures. And it all depends on the society, the company we keep, that depends whether we are enlivened in the right direction or enlivened in the wrong direction. Because people get enlivened for all different kinds of reasons. And some enlivenment will take you to lower species, and other enlivenment will actually take you to Vaikuntha and beyond. So Lord Chaitanya is very enlivened, and he's enlivened when he sees others taking up this process. And Prabhupada is here is compared to a capitalist. Sometimes the word capitalist has very bad connotations. Capitalist, dirty capitalist, blah, blah, blah. It means someone who has capital. It's what you do with the capital that determines whether it's good for you and good for others or not. We can use capital, we can use anything for all the wrong reasons. So Lord Chaitanya is described as a capitalist. Why? Because he possesses the touchstone of love of God. Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya's capital is the touchstone of love of Godhead, and consequently he is a great owner of that transcendental treasure, after making unlimited amounts of gold, the touchstone remains the same. Anyone here got a touchstone locked away at home? Huh? Would it solve our problems? Would it? You'd have to watch your back if you did have a touchstone. Someone gets to find out about it, you could well end up in a ditch. Who went to Chaitanya College? Just two of us. Three. You were a baby. Do you remember it? Okay. But you were there. Yeah, okay. So Chaitanya College. What's Chaitanya College got to do with this? Well, the aristocracy, in this case, Coventry, yeah, it just disappeared. Just about to say it and it's gone. When you get a bus pass, you have to trade off a few memory souls. So Lord Coventry, as all the aristocracy, they'd hobnob with the scientists and the intelligentsia and the creative people. They had a certain, as they do today, you know, the pop stars and the actors, and they all kind of go to different parties and they hang out together a little bit. There's some connection with Sir Isaac Newton and Croom Court, as it was then, Chaitanya College, as it is now, Croom Court. And there were some stories about mystical goings-on around Chaitanya College in the past. And one of them was that someone had given Sir Isaac Newton, who he was charged with getting the Bank of England and getting a gold standard. He was very intelligent, as we know. But his activities weren't limited to science. There's also a connection with the Bank of England and amalgamating gold, because at that particular period of time, the wool merchants were very, 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 very wealthy, the wool merchants. And the Crown considered them to be a threat because they were so wealthy. So there were some political shenanigans that went on. And Isaac Newton was charged with either collecting gold or something happened. But the point that I want to make is he was given a touchstone. So the story goes. And he felt that the world wasn't ready to have a touchstone. In India, they can probably handle it. But in the West, it wasn't really ready for it. So the story is that he had this big lead chest made, and the touchstone was put in this lead box and thrown into one of the lakes around what was then Croom Court. Not the lake that was in the property of Croom, but there were quite a few lakes around in the property, in what was the estate of Coventry, the Coventry estate. So the story is that somewhere out there in one of those ponds, there's a lead box with a touchstone in it, but nobody knows which pond. And it's in a lead box, so maybe lead has some property that blocks it from being perceived psychically or electronically or whatever. But anyway, that's as closest we've ever got to having a touchstone around. But the miraculous quality of a touchstone, and certainly it is a real item, it isn't a mythological piece, but they're very rare. It said that Sanatana Goswami had a touchstone and he kept it in the garbage because it was a material thing. It would just create problems, because his treasure was the holy name. The holy name. And Satyajit had something similar, the Shyaman Takaju. That sounds as if it's a touchstone. It would produce a mound of gold every day. I don't know how big a mound is. Anyone idea how big a mound is? It's a pile, and you wouldn't turn your nose up at a pile of gold, whether it's a little pile or a big pile. But every day, there'd be a pile of gold produced by this Shyamantaka jewel. And gold is very much sought after by those of a materialistic nature, because with gold you can purchase so much sense gratification. But Lord Chaitanya, this touchstone, which is being, it's an allegory, this is spiritual sense gratification. Lord Chaitanya is offering the whole planet this wonderful opportunity to take to chanting the holy name. So, as usual, I do all these printouts before I do a class, and somehow I never get around to talking about them. But I like to read a little bit from something. These are Shastric quotes and insights, you could say even prophetic statements about the coming of Lord Chaitanya's golden age. Because we understand Lord Chaitanya himself was spoken of thousands of years ago in various parts of the Vedas. He appeared to Lord Shiva and Parvati to different great devotees. But not just Lord Chaitanya, but even Srila Prabhupada himself is spoken of prior to his appearance. Lord Chaitanya spoke of his Senapati Bhakta, who would come and take the holy name to every town and village of the world. That's 500 years ago. And 5,000 years ago, Lord Krishna spoke. He said, this is Lord Krishna speaking to Ganga Mata. After 5,000 years, my mantra Upasaka, that means worshipper of the holy name, will appear in this world and spread the chanting of my holy name everywhere. Not just in Bharatvarsha, but all over the world, people will chant Hare Krishna. By this chanting, the whole world will become Ekavarna, one designation, namely Hari Bhaktas, devotees of Lord Hari. And because the devotees of the Lord are so pure, anyone who contacts them will become purified of sinful reactions. This period of worldwide chanting will continue for 10,000 years. So there's Krishna himself. He doesn't speak about Lord Chaitanya, interestingly. He speaks about the servant of Lord Chaitanya. And he refers to him in terms of what he will do. Not by name, but what he will do. He will take the chanting all over the world. And that's Srila Prabhupada. So the other day we had George Harrison Memorial Evening, George Harrison Tribute Night. Any of you here were there? Yes, just two of you. Anyway, the other guys don't know what they're missing, do they? So thanks for coming. But we did mention during the evening how George Harrison, the Beatles actually, did a lot to popularize, George especially, popularize the chanting of Hare Krishna. But the word Hare Krishna, first I heard it in one of the records by the Beatles. What is that? What's that? Everyone took note of what the Beatles did. And maybe they still do. But a couple of records that came out had Hare Krishna in it. So within 2 or 3 years of Prabhupada's arriving in the West, the word Hare Krishna was going out on all the different airwaves. And, of course, we know George Harrison popularized it in a massive way. And it's come to a point now where even the Prime Minister of the country comes here and says, Hare Krishna. Huh? So people are chanting, just as Lord Chaitanya requested, please chant Hare Krishna. And we're very fortunate to have come to the shelter of Srila Prabhupada and his ISKCON society. And the most confidential pastimes of the Lord are revealed here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you very much for your patience. It's just gone 1:30. Any points you want to make? Anything you want to add? Or any questions? Hare Krishna.